a reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you, Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandment and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens within the saints, and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple with the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There are a number of things that strike me as significant in our gospel reading today. I think it's striking that Mark noted that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament promise of leading the people as a good shepherd. Over the centuries, they had had plenty of bad shepherds. The story just before today's reading is the one about the evil King Herod beheading the great prophet of God, John the Baptist. I think it's striking that Jesus recognized the importance of time away from daily grinds to be with Jesus and to rest with Jesus, in order to do the ministry disciples are called to do for Jesus. Sabbath is still important. Spiritual and physical renewal and refreshment is always important. I think it's striking that crowds of people were so drawn to Jesus that they followed him into wilderness places without even making simple preparations for eating. Can you imagine being so amazed by Jesus that you forget to eat? Sometimes I forget to even thank Jesus for the abundance of food I do eat. Imagine being so caught up in Jesus that you forgot about yourself. I think it's striking that when the crowd interrupted the time away Jesus sought, Jesus put the needs of the crowd ahead of his own. Who is ever okay with interrupted time off? So most of all, in all of that, I am struck by Jesus' compassion. I must confess that when I look at the picture on our bulletin cover this morning, I don't like the way it makes me feel. If I imagine Jesus seeing this view of this sea of faces, I can imagine him feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, maybe even afraid. What Mark's gospel tells us Jesus felt, however, was compassion. Some part of me thinks that I am so struck by this account of Jesus' compassion because there seems to be so little of it in the world these days. We seem to be rising to higher and higher levels of ugliness and disrespect and hate. Which then makes me wonder, as a follower of Jesus, how much compassion do I actually give to others? Which then makes me wonder, what does Jesus expect of me? Does Jesus expect me to give compassion to everyone? What about people whose lifestyles I don't like? What about people whose politics I don't like? What about people I just don't like? It seems to me that if I am going to follow the two great commandments and love God and my neighbor, then compassion needs to characterize who I am, because it certainly characterizes who my God is. The great 20th century author and theologian Elton Trueblood once noted that the historic Christian doctrine of the divinity of Christ does not simply mean that Jesus is like God. It is far more radical than that. It means that God is like Jesus. God is like Jesus. Jesus, who put the needs of strangers in the crowd ahead of his own needs. Jesus, who suffered all sorts of insults and abuse for what he believed. Jesus, who, when he was a victim of the most heinous violence, never reacted with violence. Jesus, who, when he was dying by the hands of others, prayed that God would forgive them. Jesus, who, when he was dying, forgave my sins too. That's what God is like Jesus. The Apostle Paul explained it like this: "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ." That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. That's who I am called to be. That's who you are called to be. Unfortunately, compassion doesn't come as naturally to us as it did to Jesus. We're more likely, perhaps most likely, to react to insults and abuse and violence with insults and abuse and violence. Being compassionate instead takes a great deal of intentionality. Last Sunday at the middle school mission trip brunch, we heard about an educational program where each morning the children take turns making commitments for the day. They say things like, "I commit to using my ears today for listening." Or, "I commit to using my hands today for helping." What would we be like if we began each day by committing ourselves to being compassionate? What might the world be like if Christians everywhere began each day with a commitment to compassion? God is compassionate. God is love. And I know, because I read it in 1 Corinthians, that love is patient and kind and not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's exactly who Jesus was. Patient and kind, not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. He did not insist on his own way, even though he was the way. He was not irritable or resentful. He bore all things, believed all things, hoped all things. He endured all things. So if we commit to being compassionate, that's what we're committing to. What struck me most in today's gospel reading was Jesus' compassionate. Jesus' compassion. Not just because Jesus' compassion is directed towards me and includes me, but because I know he is calling me to be compassionate myself. So, I am starting a new spiritual discipline. I'm going to begin each day by making a commitment to being compassionate. And I invite you to join me. Amen.